that to cash flow it so that not one single person is putting their money up anymore. Once that starts to happen, we can get really creative with what we do for investments for the company, income to everyone involved, reinvesting into infrastructure, systems, processes, equipment, testing things, growing faster, advertisements, anything. All right, but you have to be strategic. If you control how you spend your money, you control what you do with your money, and you put that money to good work, and there's a result that comes in, your return on investment, it literally becomes unstoppable. And that's why I'm so fired up for this. This is the Uncensored Podcast with Robert Pepo.
Do you think people will vote for me?
What up, y'all? It's Robert Pepo back again with Uncensored with Robert Pepo, episode number 44. I appreciate you guys rocking with me. I appreciate you guys who come in. I appreciate who responds, message me, clicks like, all that stuff. I appreciate it. I'm back with another one. This is upon request. I've had several requests for things like this. All right. One specifically was about budgeting, numbers, specifics on things. And so I kind of built my whole plan out. And it basically went from how I even got into my position I'm in now, what I do now, and then what we're going to do and what that looks like for me and people that are involved. All right. And I'm going to start at the beginning and just break it down as we go. So I hope parts of this make sense to you, but let's start at the beginning. All right. So for me, when I started out, I didn't have any money. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know shit about business. So a lot of my things I learned the hard way through mentors and through reading. Okay. But I'm going to break it down for you today. There's no way I can compile all of that in one podcast. So if there's something that you'd like that I say today, something that you want more clarification on, something that I can take more time on, let me know and I'll do that, because each step leads to each other and every step is just as important as the next. All right. If you don't have one right, you can't get the next right. If you don't take the first step, you can't take the second. These are simple analogies, but they're true, especially in finances and especially in growing your business. Everything has to be detailed, correct, and with strategy and a plan. Okay. An idiot with a plan can outsmart the genius with no plan any day of the week. What that means to me is that if you have a plan, a good idea, then you can do it. All right. But it has to be structured and you have to put a lot into it to make sure that it's sustainable, right? It has some footing, has foundation, and then you can grow off of that. All right. But if you get that basic part right and keep those basic principles as you grow, great. It's like people that win the lottery. It's hard for them to keep that money and especially to grow it. And most of them don't because they don't have that financial basis, the financial habits to make that work long term and to keep that money or grow that money, but especially don't lose that money, okay? You can always make more money, and I'm going to focus on that part today with you, but you got to get the basics first, okay? So for me, it was probably 15 years ago or something when I saw my father's books on the table. And I was like, oh shit. It was like $500,000 or whatever. And I was like, it was like the end of the year sales or something from a while ago. And I was like, where the fuck is that money at? We're not rich. We don't have that. Like, what the fuck? I'm broke. I don't have any money. I don't have any credit. Like, but a half a million to me is a ton of fucking money. It's probably a lot of money to anybody. You'd be stupid if it wasn't. And so I was like, what the fuck? I got to figure something out. Like, yo, if people give that to us, we just got to hold on to it. We just got to hold on to more of that every year. Like, what the fuck? And so from that point, I was like, fuck, I got to change the way I'm doing shit. Because if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we always got. And that didn't work for me. Okay. I knew there was something more out there. I knew there was more. I knew we had a product. I knew we had a good business. I knew people liked us, but what do we do? How do we retain that? All right. How do we control these things so we then make the decisions and not just putting the money out? All right. A good company is a profitable company. A good company is somebody that can generate money and continue that on year after year after year. And I mean, we did that. Don't get me wrong. We did do that. My father did an incredible job at that, but I knew we had a whole nother level in us. And now I know we have a 10 times level in us. Okay. From where we are even today, which is double, triple what we've been back then. But that took a long time to get right. So I started way at the beginning. I said, okay, what's taking all of our money? What the fuck? I went line by line through his entire book of a year and did my own way. That made sense to me because He kept meticulous books. They were really good. And his accountant's profit and loss statements were really good. But I didn't know that shit. I didn't know how he did it, what he did. So I just wanted to get into the numbers and I would stare at them and be like, what does this mean? What is this doing? What's the pattern? What's repeating? What's odd? What's off? What did we do? What didn't we have to do? All these things. All right. It took me like a week and I went down, I wrote all my papers out, my legal pads. And I'm just right now, I didn't know shit. Let me repeat that. I didn't know shit. I just knew maybe I'll figure this out. And I was hoping for it because $500,000 would make people do whatever you need to do, you know, whatever the fuck it takes to get it. So I did that and I found a few things. I was like, oh, cool. It kind of makes sense. This one little point. I don't remember what it was, but okay, I can do that. Let's try. All right, cool. So I did those few things and I learned a little bit along the way. And I started to apply them. So I was like, oh shit. So I can learn something, apply it and get a result. This is excellent. Seems basic, except for it's hard to find those things. It's hard to make the changes. It's hard to create new habits in order to actually do that and do it for a long period of time. All right. So the simple things sometimes get overlooked because they're simple and people want a really cool answer, a different answer than they've heard before. Think about what other people might do that's different. A quick fix. It's just not there. Okay. It's not there. Cause if it was, everybody would do it and everybody would be rich and wealthy. All right. But what happens is the habits and consistency over time is what is the great separator. Okay. So to add to that, I was like, well, fuck, I still don't have any money, but I fixed some shit. Okay, cool. And I wasn't owner of the business at that point. I was just in it, right? As a kid, as a young guy. And so I knew I had to do something for myself. Okay. So let me test this out. What do I do? I got to make some more money. I got to save money. So it's like, cool. I have to control my own expenses as well. I have to control the shit that I'm doing, spending money, acting like an idiot, having fun, doing that. That's cool. And I don't regret any of that, except for it wasn't adding to anything. Okay. I wasn't getting anything out of it. And it was basically wasteful and nothing was building from that. Okay. And what I like to say now is you can have a lot of fun, do those things. I want people to do that. Okay. You can sacrifice, but you can still have a life and have fun. You should do that. Enjoy the things that you work for. Okay. But the work has to come first, period. That's just it. And then the things that you can do when you get to that point are actually much better. And I think that I enjoy these things 10 times more than I enjoyed anything else ever, whatever I get to do, whenever I want, however I want. It's just better that way, especially growing the business. It's fun. It's invigorating. It's a challenge. That type of shit motivates me. All right. So I was like, fuck, I got to control my spending. What am I going to do? So I just deposited all the money I had. And at that point it was change, but I had to start my habits. So I walk into the bank like, yo, I want to deposit this change. And the bank's like, yo, what the fuck is this dude doing? Are you serious, guy? I'm like, yes, I'm going to be a millionaire and I have to deposit this change or I will spend it. These are things I have to do. Trust me. I know it seems crazy, but I got to do it. Bear with me. All right. And then I would deposit a couple dollars when I got it. Then it was a couple more dollars when I got it. But I started extremely small and I knew what I had to do. And I went all the fuck in on doing it. And little by little, it builds up. And I always had a goal. I'm like, cool. I'm going to save my first $1,000. Okay. Bet. Did that. I'm going to save my first $5,000. Cool. Bet. Did that. I'm going to do my next 10. And I would just put markers out there for me. Okay. Out there for myself and for the business. I was doing these things simultaneously. That makes it a little more difficult, but that's okay. I was doing it. And like I said, I wasn't as involved then. So I didn't have as much on my plate. So I could do these things kind of easily. But once I started to see it work, I was like, all right, this shit's legit. I can do this. So then I looked at debt. You know, what debt do we have? What credit cards are out there? Myself, my parents, the business, you know, because in a family business, it's all together, right? It all matters. Everything has to kind of coexist in order for it to work really well. If one person is fucking it up, it's hard for the whole thing to work. And it's not that anybody was fucking it up, but we've just been doing things one way for a long fucking time. And it wasn't the right thing going forward, in my opinion. Lo and behold, it all worked out pretty good. So I feel like I was correct. I don't believe I did it the most right way then. And I'm going to add that in later on too. How to do it a bit more right. Learn, appreciate, be grateful, not always just forceful. I was quite forceful early on. I don't regret it necessarily, but I don't know if it was necessary. Okay. We all have a great relationship. Everything is good. So it did work out fine, but I was a bit forward in how I did things. Sure. Some would argue that that is what's needed to get to this point. I don't know. All right. That was my path. That's what it is. And I would admit that it might not have been the best option, but it was my only option at the time and it's all I knew, so I went with it. All right, same way I do things now. It's what I know, it's what I've learned. I feel it's the best case for right now, what I have, the research that I have, the things I know. Boom, let's do it. All right, so I did that. And I would save a little bit of money and then pay off some debt without diminishing all the cash reserves, okay? So I was kind of like building cash up, reducing debt to put us in a powerful position, okay? That seems simple, again, except for it's not. If anybody's had any level of debt, in which case me, I think I came from about $100,000 in debt, about, all right? The business maybe had $60,000, $75,000 in debt altogether. And this is over the course of many years that we had to work down while working cash flow up. Cash reserves up. And you do that all by cash flow. So we'll get to cash flow. Why that's so important. And cash flow and profitability are my number ones today because it led to my financial freedom and it leads me to everything else that I can do. All right. But you can apply these things personally too. And in your business. So a lot of these things go hand in hand. The principles are the same. All right. And you just put these markers out there for whatever amount of money you might want. All right. Whatever debt reduction you might want. I hope for you it's zero. Okay. There's ways to use debt in the business, leverage that, reduce expenses, grow more quickly for more income, you know, that turns into profit. You can do all that. All right, but we're going to start with the basics first, all right? You have to put yourself, especially if you're the business owner, in a good position in order to make good decisions for yourself, your family, and your business. If you don't do that, you'll be playing this merry-go-round fucking roundabout, rob Peter to pay Paul, this for that type of shit. And doing that every day takes away from you actually building your business and actually focusing on what matters, the systems, the processes, the people. All right, if you don't have that under control, how can you bring in other team members and make them strong, right? Because if my team's strong, I'm strong and the business is strong. If I'm strong and the business is strong, my team members are strong and they are powerful, right? And we just reduce the amount of bullshit we have to deal with. All right, so early on, I made myself and the business strong first. Well, actually, I made my parents strong first, the business strong, and then myself strong. And I just applied the same strategies the whole time. Basically, they're kind of like a Dave Ramsey strategies, if you understand that. Debt snowball. Pay off the littlest debt, build some momentum, pay off the biggest one, okay? And just keep rolling that into the next thing until you're debt-free, all right? Same thing with cash. You set emergency fund, $1,000, and then you build that into something else. Then you get to max out your IRA. Then you get to do your retirement stuff or put it into your business because that's a growth too, all right? You know, people say IRAs and 401ks are the best. Yeah, kind of. But if you have a business like mine, when you can put a bunch of money up front to franchise, that growth will like 100 times what my IRA will do. Okay. And we max out our IRA, no problem. And that will kind of grow, but my business will really grow. So now it's being strategic with where you put your money and what you do with it. All right. The mainstream media wants you to invest in the stock market because it makes the economy strong, makes businesses strong, keeps the people employed, keeps the wheels turning. Great. It is a safe vehicle. It is important. I think you should do that. If you need a good financial advisor, I have a great one. Okay. That's just part of it though, because there's many, many options on this road to financial freedom, to what you're doing, to growing your business, to becoming wealthy, becoming rich, becoming living the way you want to do, not worrying about day-to-day stuff. Okay. But it starts with the basics, starts at the beginning, controlling what you're doing. Whatever it is that you're doing, control that and think about what you're spending money on. It's called the latte effect. Okay, the latte effect says if you just get a coffee every day or every other day, at the end of the month and at the end of the year, it adds up to be a lot of money. But you can apply that latte effect to anything, okay? Cigarettes, going out to eat, whatever you want to do, whatever you're buying, it's a latte effect, okay? How can you control these things and stack up your money? All right, so I said save on one, little to no debt, which brings me to good credit, okay? So when you're just starting out, being able to be flexible in what you do because you have good credit is important, okay? Maybe you want to make an investment in your business, or maybe you need a business loan to start your business. Maybe you need a business credit card, so you need to get it. Most of these things happen on your own personal credit because your business hasn't established it yet. Most people don't even know how to use Dun & Bradstreet to build business credit, right? That's a whole nother story. Most people don't know how to repair their credit. I did. Okay. I hired a firm. All right. Early on in my life, I didn't make all the right decisions. I didn't know. I didn't care. I was living reckless. Literally, I didn't give a fuck. Riding Harleys, having a good time, going to the gym, fucking lifting, going out all the time. I didn't care. I didn't know how it would affect me today. And then I fucking learned, okay? Then I learned the hard way, all right? Maxed out credit cards, didn't have any money, thought I was cool, looked like I was doing good and had zero fucking dollars and a lot of fucking debt, all right? I don't like that anymore, all right? So you need to establish some good credit. Credit's not the be-all, end-all. You can do a lot with cash, cash flow, wise investments, good strategies, but credit is beneficial when you want to make bigger moves, power moves, or put yourself in a good position. Get a house, get a building, buy a business, buy a franchise, whatever you want. Establishing good credit is extremely important. That will start with controlling your expenses. So you can put more down to your credit cards, to your car loans, to your mortgage. So you start to build that credit up. All right. If you do that, you allow yourself to be flexible when you need to be, okay? So you make those sacrifices up front and hope for that big reward on the end, which is excellent fucking credit like I have, all right? It's probably the best that you could even get, all right? I think it was 847 last time. I don't give a fuck. I'll say it. But I worked a long time in order to get that, in order to be in a position that I am. I needed to hire an attorney, fix that shit, tell me what to do, tell me what the best plan, use the Dave Ramsey plan, apply that. So what I'm telling you today are all things I've done, all things I'm willing to do, all right, and all things that I will stand by saying because they've worked for me and my wife and my parents and my business and her parents and many other people along the road that have fucked with me, talked to me about stuff because they know the position I'm in. How do you get there, all right? I've literally walked this whole path because I want to be wealthy. I want to have a great business. I want to be well known for doing fucking awesome in life, okay? And I want to tell people how I fucking did it. This is just a part of it. And it's a necessary part of it because, again, the foundation, if it's strong, you can do whatever the fuck you want, all right? So those are the few basic things that you can do today, all right? But how do you start a business if you don't? If you did some good stuff, right, got yourself to position, you got $5,000 or $10,000 maybe, or zero. Let's just start there. You have $0, but you're at baseline. You don't got no debt. Even if you do, you got a little bit. Everything's under control, right? We're baseline under control. What do you do then, okay? What do you do then when you're starting, okay? There's a few different things. If you know anybody, okay, there's a thing called sweat equity. That is, I will put my time, energy, understanding, knowledge into your business in exchange for the opportunity, okay? Sweat equity. Maybe that's a percentage in a business. Maybe that's you saying, hey, I can do that portion over there. I don't need to pay for that. I can get this up and going. So I did that with my American Dreams company, the t-shirt company. I set out to show two of my friends how to start a business with no money that can turn into money, become profitable, and then aid in your next venture, okay? Cash flow. How do we start something by the bootstraps, right? With no fucking money. Build it, sustain it, and then grow it. So I did that with American Dreams and my own shirt line, then the army contracts I got, all that. I did that, okay? So I showed how you can do that. Sweat equity was the number one thing. Putting myself in there, being creative of what I could do, the right partnerships around that would help me take this company, build it, fill in the gaps of things I didn't know, and then get a product out, receive money for it, then do the right things with the money, okay? I did it with $0. I didn't have a budget. I just said, this is what I think is going to work. This is how I'm going to do it, so my plan. I executed on that plan, and it fucking worked, right? I asked the shirt designers to make them. I'll receive them. When I sell them, I'll pay you that first shipment back, and then I'll pay for the next order. So I just reinvested right back, okay? So I took $0 to make it, sold them, took the money, paid for that, plus the next order. Now I was back at zero, but I didn't owe anybody money now, okay? Simple concept, but I was testing it out and showing them how to fucking do this, okay? Same thing with Pepos, okay? We had $0, but we had customers coming in. I knew if I can get us to fucking even, we don't owe nobody, don't have any money, but we don't owe anybody, I can do something with that. That's actually a good position to be in, all right? It's the baseline start, and that means you can go any which way, right? So if you are at zero, you can go up or down. Don't fuck it up, so just go up, all right? But it becomes very basic, all right? So let's say you have a little bit of money. What can you do? You can start with a small portion of something you're interested in, Okay. So take $5,000, let's say, and you can just map out what you might do with that money to turn it into 10,000. Okay. Very, very basic. So I'm getting to the point of kind of what we did. All right. But I'm gonna work you up there, small steps, because some of my audience asked me, how do I start? All right. Some of my audience asked me for simple budgeting, simple ideas. All right. So I'm going to start with these basic principles because that's how I had to start. When I went to grow our company, which was when we moved from our original location, which was like 550 square feet, to where we are today, I wasn't as part of it as I was today. So my father did most of it, and he took a small business loan out, got it done, no problem. And then I paid that off, no problem. When I started to become part of the business, I did everything with cash because I fucking hated debt because I knew what it did. I knew where it held us back. I knew how hard it was to get out of that, and I knew how hard it was to save money again. So when it was time for us to expand this business and open Tinley, I did all that with cash flow. Okay, I didn't take out any loans, no debt, nothing like that. Still haven't. So when we opened the second side to expand into the lobby, we're getting way busier. Numbers were going way up. we just were much more busy, needed more space. We did it all with cash, and I did it with people that I knew. Some people put in sweat equity. I appreciate all you guys. You know who you are. Dan, Ryan, Jeff, appreciate you guys very much. So I had a good circle too. All right. It's pretty important when you're trying to build something or do something to have good people around. All right. That's not part of this financial plan, but it is part of it. All right. But then, you know, we had to pay contractors and do these things. So you want to do it right. But I did it with cash flow, and I did it in a way in which I knew it wouldn't hurt us and we wouldn't go backwards from where we are, even if it worked or if it didn't work. Okay. It's the same approach I took when I went to Tinley Park Store. Okay. I was still young. I didn't know anything. I was in my 20s. And I was like, yo, how am I going to fucking do this? I know we got something here. I know we can expand, and I need to. So I said, okay, I'm going to take some money every day or every week or whatever from the business and set it aside, X amount of dollars, and set it aside. So then when the time comes, we have enough money to do it. Simultaneously, I'm going to rent out a storage equipment facility, a fucking storage locker, whatever, and buy one piece of equipment a month and put it in there so I'm ready to go. And I just did that on repeat for like a year, okay? So I buy a piece of equipment, put it in storage, save a little money. Buy a piece of equipment, put it in storage, save a little bit of money. And so I was like, shit, all right, I think I'm ready. Maybe spent like 20 grand on equipment. I had like 25,000 in cash. It's like, fuck, I think we can do this because we don't have any debt now. We have a cushion of money, which at the time I thought was a lot because I didn't have a lot. And that's Pepo's stuff. I had my own, but Pepo's had its own. So I was strong first, so I wouldn't be affected whether it was completely lost or not. Pepo's had it, and then Pepo's one had its own kind of set and secure thing. So I was only fucking around with money we could afford to lose and things that wouldn't affect me or my family. Okay, so I was doing that strategically. It's all different for each business that you're in and how you do things. And that's like a topic I can go way farther down on. But we got to a point where I was like, okay, I think we have enough set aside. I think we have enough equipment, and I think we have enough cash flow to at least float that first month in a new location without getting hurt until we establish some business. Great. Fuck it. Let's do it. All right. And so we did, right? So that the budgeting part up front was like, I know my numbers on the floor. I know that that store will do basically what we're doing. If we get to X amount of sales, I think it was like 40,000 a month or something, we're good to go. All right. And we fucking got that. We hit like 80 or in that 90 a month, and we were off to the races, and I didn't have to worry about it. We were basically profitable from day one. Okay. But I applied those simple principles for many, many years and able to get to that point to be in a position to do those things. All right. And I did it all myself. I did it all with just the basic plan. And then we fucking executed and did that. Long story short, when we closed that company, nobody was affected because I run it the same way. We didn't have anybody bank loans. We didn't owe anybody money. I owned all the equipment. I sold some of it back. We closed because we just didn't renew our lease. We were making money along the way. We were a profitable company. The deal on the back end wasn't good. And sure, we needed to increase our sales and do more because that's part of business. We could have stayed. It was not the right deal for us to move forward. And it was just a business decision to close. And since we did the right things getting there, it didn't matter. That's how we know this next phase that I'm about to get to is the right step for us, because we know exactly what to do. We know what worked. We know what didn't work. We know everything that goes into it Plus, we know what didn't work. We know what we will not do again. We know everything in and out because we detailed it. We stepped back, we looked at it, we analyzed it. Then once we got even better, we looked back at it, back and forth to decide what to do, what not to do, what worked well, what didn't. Apply that again. Never losing sight of those basic principles that got us there. So that brought us to, let's say that brought us to current. Okay, when I'm like, fine, it's finally time to do something with the business again. And all throughout the time, I've been applying these principles that I started with just at a much higher level. Personally, solid as fuck. Business, strong as fuck. Cash reserves, strong as fuck. People around, strong as fuck. Bro, we got something here. All right, what do I do? Now I just got to build it. So everything else is set. The foundation is set. Still correct. The basics are still correct and got us to a start point. Now I just have to build a system. We do this every day. So I just have to build around that. I have to build in all the numbers, all the costs, because now instead of just opening a store ourselves, franchising is a much more robust plan that absolutely must be extremely detailed because you're bringing other people in, other owner operators who are investing in your company, right? And the better they do is the better I do. And if I do good, they do good. If Pepo's number one does good, they do good. The network looks good. If Pepo's franchise group can manage that well, they do well, we grow, and everybody does well. But that has to be correct at every single fucking point. So I just started. I said, well, I met with iFranchise Group many years ago, and I had a great conversation with the owner. They're fucking badasses. And he laid out some specifics. So I'm like, fuck it. I need like 50 G's in order to franchise. Fuck it. Let's go. We can do it. All right. So we did, right? Because we thought maybe we'd run into $50,000 worth of expenses before we started to franchise. So I was like, all right, bet. Let's get there first. All right, and that's just specific to me, Pepo's franchise. This is what we're doing. That number could be very different for whatever your goal is, aggressive, not aggressive. If you're doing it all yourself, maybe you have a family friend attorney because that's the biggest cost. Whatever it is, I just thought my marker was 50,000 based on the numbers he gave me to build a program, okay? But what I did is I built the program. So I like fucking half that number in half by doing it myself. The reason I did it myself is because I found the blueprints from very, very successful people. I had mentors that talked to me. I had books and podcasts and different things that people have done. So I knew what to do and I know my business. All right. But again, it was going with that. It's not a frugal mindset, but I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can build and I know what I do and I know my business. That means I can develop these things. Plan, start to finish, numbers, start to finish. How would these things go? Map it out, and now you're left with your franchise manual, okay? And that is a quick down and dirty from 3 years, two to three years of actual work to build it to get to the point that we're in. That's where I'll get into some of these numbers with you as well. So how do you even do that from your business? Cash flow, okay? Cash flow. If your business is profitable, you can use cash flow to do anything you want to do. So early on, I mentioned we paid off our debt and stacked a little money. Excellent. You could take your business income, your cash flow and profitability, and make improvements to your business because that's a way to grow your business too. If you're improving your business, customers like it more, better offering, better comfort, better ambiance, you could potentially increase your sales. Pretty basic stuff, okay? You could put a little bit more money into marketing if your cash flow is controlled, okay? You can hire more staff to service more customers, all right? You can buy another extension of your business and grow in another avenue or another income avenue. Okay. So there's different growth models to do that. Once you have the basics controlled, mine just happened to be franchising. The growth model one, okay, is improving your product offering or your service. And you can grow that way. Perhaps you can charge more for your product if you do those things, thereby creating more revenue. And in which case you can pull out more profit. All right. And you can grow by doing it yourself. Okay. Absolutely. That's what I did. Then, but you could also grow with outside capital. You can grow your single business with somebody's investment and grow that single thing. You can do that. That outside investment, you can put towards whatever you want if you can show that you're profitable, cash flow is controlled, and your revenue is increasing. People want to work with people like that. But then you can bring on partners too. And you can bring in partners to do one thing in one store. You can do that. You can bring in partners to double what you're doing. You can exchange equity for their partnership, okay? They don't have to pay for it, but they can. You don't have to buy them in, but you can. Offer them an incentive, but really equity in the brand, you can you can do that with. Now you have a partner, skin in the game, invested. You're doubling what you're able to do, basically, in the same location or in another location. Okay, that's one way to do it. Or you can franchise. Okay, but franchise has a bunch of different things that go into too. All right, you can franchise a company, still open corporate stores. We probably will. We will build our marquee store. We might have one or two franchises, depending on who comes up through our system in Pepos Corporate, and can do that. And we want to do that. We have the resources at the time to do that. We can do that. Or we can just stick with the owner-operator model. Typical franchisee, it would be their Pepos store. They'll go through our system and own that thing and crush it. Or we can take in investors. They can build franchises out, be a silent partner, and we can staff it with a GM for them. Still an independent franchise, still all them. They control whatever they want to. That's a portion of it. All right. And you can bring in groups of people that do that too. That's probably something that we'll address pretty soon. It won't be, you know, the first one, two, or three with a group, but there are out there. We've talked to them already. There are a couple people that are interested in doing that way for us. So you see now that I had to address every single one of these, the cost associated with every single one of these, the level at which we will execute on every single one of these, because they're not the same. One person, one company, multiple partners, multiple locations, it becomes very different. And I have each one of those detailed out because they require a different level of investment, a different level of time, a different level of execution. But the franchise itself incurs cost too, okay? Just to get established, just so you know. So straight off the bat, to do a franchise, to do it right anywhere, it's like 20 grand for just attorney fees, okay? So that's 20 grand straight up just to get the paperwork right. But you have to have the right information for the paperwork. If you don't have the right information for the paperwork, that costs more for someone to help you get that done. Luckily, I had it because I thought I had to build the whole fucking thing. And I liked it. I liked it. It was a challenge. And now because I'm training it, because it's my shit, I built it. I know it. We know it. Me, Alex, Leandra, Malcolm, Sarah, Gabe, Miranda, we all kind of know what's going on. And we can execute on that at a high level. We don't have to learn somebody else's kind of what they've built for us. I ain't fucking doing that. You can do that, but that wasn't for me. You have to have accountants, okay? So there's an audit on your company. You have to bring someone in who knows these numbers, because if you have to focus on all these things, it becomes very difficult for you to do that. You have to have other good people around you. You have to be able to focus on your strong suit, build a team, fill in those gaps. You can all execute at a high level, which makes it a better return on your investment, right? We put the 20 grand up for the attorneys. It was like 5 or 10 grand for trademarks. 2 years of work, all the attorney fee, all the accounting fees, financial advisors. I'm probably missing a lot because there's a bunch of stuff that we did. So all in 35 or 40,000 to get to start to do it. But if it wasn't that, we might not be able to do it as well as we're about to do it to the level at which we're going to do it at, and then be positioned to sell when we're ready. So I had to think about the end game first to build the foundation that leads to that. So everything I built from here to get here, I looked at getting to this point, okay? And it worked. So now I have to look at getting to the next point and build from there. This foundation is completely different and needed to be way higher level. And it is now. That's sustainable. That means the people that will come in and be part of it are going to be happy with what's going on, how robust the program is, how strong the foundation is, and what we're going to do. Because although we're well established, we're still a new franchise, okay? Yes, we had another store that was operational, and I have the numbers for that, and we were profitable. But this is a whole nother level, okay? And this is other people. That was just me and Alex doing it, all right? And we fucking crushed it, but it was just us. I didn't really have to answer anybody. No one was worried about things. That's not true now. I need to make sure they are profitable and sustainable, because if they are happy, they'll continue to pay royalties, which is excellent. So I can continue to grow the company, put it back in, and put us in a position to be in a fucking powerful ass position when we're ready to sell. The time, the systems, the process, all that took time. Now the corporate and franchise stores, like I already said, outside owner operators, capital from an outside investor plus a GM. There are different ways that you can build this. That's the coolest part about owning your own business and deciding how you want to get wealthy. You can literally do it however you want. Pick something that you think is cool, that you like, and then build it like the person who did it really good did it. So there's a lot of people that own restaurants, but some of them aren't good. All right. Maybe the food's not good. Maybe they're not profitable. Maybe people don't like them, whatever it is. So find the motherfuckers in your industry, in your genre, that have done it good. Find out what goal you want, match that up, and build that shit. it becomes extremely powerful and you can do it. Listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it. From where I came from, $0, $100,000 in debt, the business had debt. We had to control cash flow. We weren't that profitable. We were open. We were doing good, but we had a few things. What we had is people really liked our product. We had really good service and we've been around a long time. So we had good brand reputation. Okay. You can build off that and you can build that. Okay. It's pretty simple as well, but this one's more about finances. So we won't go into that. So that's just basic first step. How do you get yourself in a strong position? How does your business cash flow these things? If you're profitable, your business can make that next investment and it should. In my opinion, you as an owner operator shouldn't have to put any more money into it once you get established and secure some repeat sales. If your repeat sales are profitable, even if you had debt, even if you had a small business loan, that's fine. If your core sales are profitable, you're good to go. Brings me to my next point. I have some like annual sale markers, okay? So how I built a program was three ways. We have like a minimum that you need to hit in order to be able to be profitable, pay your small business loan back if you got one to open your company, continue to pay your royalties to us so there's no bullshit in between there, and then I put what a store should make, right? What's our target goal for year one, okay? And then I put what we know stores can actually do based on what we can handle, square footage, and whatever it is. So annual sales, the minimum, 500,000. You should be doing 500K, half a million every year, no matter what. The way we built our program and how we do things and our track record from Tinley Park Store, for sure, you will do that. If we fall under that, there's ways to improve that, right? But there's no way it's going to happen, okay? Then we have the $750,000 mark for annual sales. If you can hit 750, you're definitely going to be in a strong financial position based on the way we do things, based on our profitability, based on just what I'm going to train our franchisees on. How do you pull money out of that and continue to grow while still paying your royalties and paying down your debt if you have any, okay? But we know our stores can hit about a million, okay? Based on volume, based on the employees that we have, how many we require you to have, the location size, you can easily run a million through a store with 1,000 square feet to 2,000 square feet, no problem. And hopefully those numbers go higher. Some locations will crush it at that million or you know, 1.5 would be the best. But I'm basing all these numbers low. So I wanted to make sure we are profitable and sustainable at the lowest marker. So I built all of my number projections off of just hitting 500,000. Sure, I want to hit 750 to a million because that's what we do today. But I know at 500,000, the minimum, I know we can do it for one. You can definitely fucking do it. But you're still making money. You're still profitable. You can still take your salary as an owner operator and then work to increase your sales. But I didn't want to blow smoke to anybody as I built this plan. As I built this plan, I wanted to make sure people understood that what we're coming in at, even if we lowball it, we're going to be fucking strong as fuck. But if those numbers just creep up, even creep up 100,000, 250,000, get to that 750,000 mark, we're going to be extremely strong, okay? Once we can repeat that process, we become unstoppable, basically. And this is why franchises grow so fast, because it's compounding every single day, strong units that turn over this revenue, turn over this profit, adds to the big pot that adds back into the stores, okay? That's what I'm going to do. If I can get you from 500 to 750 to a million, why know how I fucking came up with those numbers? Because that's what I did. From 500, like I said in the beginning of the video, to past 750, to nearing a million every single fucking year, year after year, doing that at two locations, well, three locations actually, but let's call it just two specific. You can do it too. And much we learn now and how strong we are now, the network we have now, the followers we have now, the product mix we have now, the profitability that we're at now, you can absolutely do it. And I would rather see my people involved, the franchisees, more happy with higher numbers, because they're going to expect a return at 500,000, which they'll hit no matter what, year one. But they're going to expect... They're going to be happy because they're going to see a higher number than what they were expecting. We're going to hit that 750. We're going to hit that million because how I built the program, I'm not taking no for a fucking answer. That's the type of owner I am. And that's kind of a sell. All right. And we have to sell that early up front to get people involved. Right. I'm going to break all this down detailed. I have a list, right? Systems and process to talk to people about the value add that Pepos brings to the market. I have a fucking PowerPoint that lays out the basics of profitability, scalability, why we're a good investment. All right, all that. But let's talk one more thing more important than the sales. How much does it take to actually do it? Sure, you can make 500,000, but you might have to put up 250 because you will. So how do you do that? Well, let's go back to the basics. You established some good credit. Maybe you got a small business loan. Perhaps you have a partner or a group. Perhaps you saved money going from corporate America. You want to own your own business. You can put the cash up. Okay. We have people that are doing each one of those parts. We have wait lists ready to go. And there's some people that will need a loan, but they're great operators. No problem. We can work with that. You're going to make money. There's some people that have the cash that want to do it. Open up in Naperville. Good to go. We can do that. There's some people that want to do a group of stores. Good to go. We can do that. And I built it basically lowest to highest what to expect to put up, okay? And then what you can get out of it. So for our franchise program, you have to be qualified in the FDD, franchise disclosure documents and franchise agreement, for the minimum of $252,000. However you get that number, whether you have it liquid, have it in a small business loan, you're getting, you know, your grandma to give you the money for it, doesn't matter, as long as you can verify that you can have that and get that, okay? That's the minimum required to put up. That doesn't actually mean that you're going to put it up, though. This is where franchising and these numbers get confused. The franchise document has a scale. It goes from ours specifically, 252 to 354. Okay, so that's 252,000 to 354,000 is basically what you'll spend to open a Pepper store bare bones if you had to do absolutely everything. That includes the licensing fee, the build out, employee staffing, all your food product at first, every single thing to open, all the signage, everything. But let's say you find a store that only needs 1/4 of a build. That might only cost you $100,000. So you're already pre-qualified for $250,000. Maybe you have it, right? But you only need to put $100,000 up because it just needs some amount of work. And let's say you hit that $500,000. Well, you're going to be pretty profitable pretty soon and not have to recoup so much money because you only put up 1/4 of a bill because we found a spot that was really good. Maybe the landlord put money in so you didn't have to put it all in. Maybe you got X amount of rent for free. Maybe it was a restaurant before and we just refitted it, refaced it, put our equipment in and did that. Excellent. You could do that. So you save some money, you become more profitable, more sustainable upfront early on. Now you don't have to do that. It's just an option. If that's the location we find and we think it's a great fit, we can do that. You're still going to be qualified for it. But if you don't put that money up front, that's operating capital. That's money back in your pocket. That just puts you in a stronger position to start. There is no downside to that. So there's a build sheet for 1/4 build, a quarter build, okay? Then we got about a half build, okay? That, let's say about 175,000. So you were expecting to put in 252, but really, by the time you hit your grand opening, you only put in 175,000. Well, that automatically puts you in a strong position where you have excess capital to do more things you want to do, more advertising, more marketing, doesn't matter because that marketing and advertising is built into that initial cost anyway in that 175. Once you put that up, you're in a stronger position to recoup that in 1 or 2 years, okay? Fuck 3 or 5 or 8 or 10 years. That, I mean, you put that money up into savings or something, it's not going to grow at all. But if you hit 500,000 in sales, you're going to make that back. If you hit 750, you're going to get that back real quick. If you hit a fucking million, we're going to do another store. All right? But then we have the regular, 252 to 354. All right? That's if we had to take a bare bones unit, build it out completely, start to finish, licensing fee, that pays for your training, pays for your trademarks, the use of a trademarks, the recipe book, the manual, systems, processes, and our full training. Then it pays for your build out. That also pays for your food, your dry stock, all of that. And I priced out every single one of these things to the T, okay? So let's just say we have to put in a full build. That's what you're looking at spending. With that number, because that's what all this is based on. We just hope you might not have to put in some more. And if you don't for some reason, perhaps you're a painter by trade looking to do a franchise and you can do the painting. Well, you saved yourself $5,000. Cool. X that out the equation. You have $5,000 more liquid to go to operations and like 1 to 3 months of operational money. Okay. That's what we want to do. And again, based on your numbers, you'll make that back. But then we have one other outside of our realm that I didn't include that we're going to do corporately. That's a marquee store. Okay, the marquee store is going to be the best store in the Pepo's brand. We plan to do that in 2024. So next year, we're going to get 2 franchises going this year and plan to do that next year and maybe another one depending how big we get and where we need to put our training offices, our training locations, which will be our marquee store. And that's $750,000. Okay, so that would be like we find a piece of land, put the building up, fit it the way Pepo's is fit, put a patio, test out a drive-through, put a little basement for storage, office, do everything as best as we can. We're looking at like $750,000. That's the budget we set for that. Well, the reason I picked that and we could do that, because we already pay that in rent, what a commercial mortgage would be for that. Why wouldn't we do that? I know I'm highly qualified to do it. We have a network of stores, cash flow positive. We can easily do that. I have that fully built out too, what that would take. Start to finish, from land, construction, concrete, build out, all the equipment, patio, everything built out to do that when we're ready. Okay. Foundationally built, systems and processes work. All right. We also want to do a food truck. All right. So I did build out a food truck option for a franchisee to be a food truck operator or owner operator of a food truck. I think that works in different climates than we have here in the Midwest. Florida, California, Arizona, warmer climates. Now we'll have one here as a brand fund. So every unit will pay into a brand fund, and we'll use that cash flow to buy a food truck that expands our brand. Any unit can use it. If they have an event going, a local festival they want to do, they'll use the food truck calendar and they'll do that. If they want to do a soft opening with a food truck, so more eyes on it, looks a little cooler, get out there, you can use it for that. Each grand opening, we'll use it for that. But the brand fund from each location pays into that to pay for that, to cash flow it, so that not one single person is putting their money up anymore. Once that starts to happen, we can get really creative with what we do for investments for the company, income to everyone involved, reinvesting into infrastructure, systems, processes, equipment, testing things, growing faster, advertisements, anything. All right, but you have to be strategic. If you control how you spend your money, you control what you do with your money, and you put that money to good work, and there's a result that comes in, your return on investment, it literally becomes unstoppable. And that's why I'm so fired up for this. All right. So the franchise costs, when you do a franchise, let me do this. You'll pay for your licensing fee, all of your upfront costs, which is your capital investment. Okay. So like your initial investment is your licensing fee, $20,000. Okay. $20,000 to franchise with Pepos. The upfront cost is your capital investment that you're actually going to put into your build out, and everything that is associated with getting your store up and running before you're operational. Then the first 1 to 3 months is called working capital. The working, and all these have lines in my financial spreadsheets. So the initial investment, 20K, upfront cost, let's go from 252. So that looks like 230 or so, 218 to 232 for the rest of the capital investment. The rest of that is going to go to working capital. So let's say you have, how the book reads is it's like 20,000 for payroll, 5 or 10,000 for dry stock, 10 to 15,000 for food stock, and you'll have additional capital left over for working capital. Okay, working capital though is also capital that comes into play when you're ready open. So we're hoping, and we think and expect based on historical data, that you won't need as much working capital because the cash flow from sales should now start to make the business turn. Don't put any more money in. In fact, pull out that initial capital and let the cash flow be what you're doing, because now you can see how your business actually functions. If you keep infusing money into the business, you don't really get to see how the cash flow is managed, how you're managing cash flow and how that cash flow is turning over, how you're using it, okay? So that first 1 to 3 months, the money is set there if you need it. Let's say sales are just fucking down. We open into wintertime, horrible location. The numbers are down. We need a little bit of money to keep that business sustainable until springtime. Great, that's what that's for. But strategically, how we will open is into a busy season or at least a couple months to build that up. So then the cash flow starts to be your reserves and your revolving money that you use for operational things, paying yourself back, paying employees, buying food, normal stuff in your business, okay? But what you're gonna have to worry about most when you get to that point is the cash flow and taxes and expenses, okay? Cash flow, number one. Profitability, number one, but that's on me. Pepos Corporate, myself, make sure that you are profitable, okay? Because I do the numbers. I work with our vendors to secure good pricing, and I work on the pricing on the menu to make sure we're selling at the proper amount. That means we're all making money, okay? But taxes, okay? Taxes will fuck you too, because if you make money, you gotta pay taxes, okay? Unless you keep putting it into your business or have enough expenses that drive down that tax burden. But my goal for you is to be profitable and to be successful, and you will have a tax burden at the end of the year. There's no way to get around that. I haven't gotten taxes back in like fucking 10 years, all right? We pay a pretty good amount. We are looking to do more investments in the business coming up soon. So maybe that will change for a year or something when we go to build, because it would be such a big expense. I don't know. But you have to be conscious of your taxes and set a separate account aside for your taxes. So we ain't fucking around. We're not dealing with tax bullshit. Pay your sales tax, pay your payroll tax, pay your tax, self-employment tax at the end of the year on your K-1. That's set aside, and that's all written in the manual as well, and how to manage those things. You'll work with your own public accountant. I can just give you a few pointers here and there. I can't tell you how to do anything with your money. It's your business. They're doing your thing. That's up to you, but get creative as you can. Reinvest into your company. Control your expenses, and you're going to make some money. All right. Return on investment. This is the last part. Well, one of the last parts, then I'll summarize. There's a few ways to look at return on investment, especially for me. So me, Pepos One, the majority owner of Pepos Inc., Pepos One, Pepos Franchise Group. I'm the majority owner, so I'm looking at return on investment, right? Mine is a long-term play. I'm solid as fuck today, like I said. I don't need the money today. That puts me in a powerful position to get to tomorrow, get to the $100 million goal, okay? I'm very secure in what the fuck I do, what I have, how I live. I don't need to change it because I know what the fuck is coming, okay? Return on investment for me, number one, long-term, all right? Because I'm focused on sustainability of my operators, of my franchisees, and of everyone else in my network, because that puts us in a strong position. The return on their investment, if I control all my costs, from helping them make sure they build out correctly and not overpaying for anything, but doing everything right, come in at or under build cost, not over, then hit our annual sales mark, your return on investment will outperform the stock market, 401k. I don't know what else you want to put it against. Whatever other asset you think it will do, owning your own business is one of the best return on investments long-term than you can do. Let's take the $252,000 mark, okay, full build, and let's just say we hit the $500 to $750 mark somewhere in here. You'll make that money back, with exception, 1 to 3 years, and here's where I got that number, and this is the fucking critical point to all of this. I can tell you what I do and what we do. I can train you the best I can. I can lay out all of the fucking systems, processes, training, manual, scheduling, taxes, how we do things. And I have it all laid out because I have to train people in it and show them everything. Okay. But the results are squarely on the owner operator. Just like in the beginning of this whole fucking podcast, you have to control things to get a result. The return on investment in your business, I can lay out, if you hit numbers, you do this, great. How are you going to hit those numbers? You have to be a good owner operator. Number one. You have to watch cost, right? You have to watch your crew. You have to schedule correctly. I'm going to show you how to do those things, but you have to execute them. This is the point. I can walk you into an opportunity. It doesn't mean you'll get as much out as I will, because I know what the fuck I'm going to do. I know what I have done, and I know what I'm capable of. All right, I can make a lot out of fucking nothing. So that return on investment, you can. Statistically speaking, you can get that back really fucking quick. But it is literally up to you and your performance, of you, the owner operator, you, the business owner, and your store and your performance and what you can get it to achieve. If you are lax on some things, it will just take a little longer. If you're not as focused on certain things, it'll just take longer. If you suck at some things, maybe you don't get it back. The return on any investment is what, one, the investment itself, which ours is strong. That's proven. That's why we're going to sell them. That's why we're going to get to 100 million. No problem. I already know that. All the people around, which are some high level people, already know that. Independent single owner operators of any business, including a Pepos franchise, rest solely on their execution of the day to day. It rests solely on what they're willing to do in order to make that company sustainable. It's what you are willing to do, capable of, able to do, build a team to do around you, because you can't do it yourself, that return on investment will come back faster, slower, or not at all, or far more than you could ever expect, which I hope is the fucking goal. I'm going to get to far more than I've ever expected, because that's already the trajectory I'm on, because I've already got there already in my own mind from where I was. The budget matters, the finances matter, but you and what you do, your habits, your controls, you're sticking to the system, you're trusting the process, all matters. So let's break this down. In summary, I don't know what I missed here. I don't think I missed anything, but I hit most of everything. So let me break this down. Foundationally, you have to start at the bare basics. Put yourself in a strong position. Number two, put your company or whatever you're trying to build or what you're growing in a strong position. Okay. Even if you don't have a ton of money or no money at all, at least that you're just in a solid position to do something, whether it's sweat equity, money, outside capital, small business loan. Okay. Then you map out what that looks like. How much is it going to cost me to do X? How much is it going to cost me to open a storefront? How much is it going to cost me to advertise? How much is it going to cost me to take on an employee? How many sales will I need in order to generate $5,000 in profit? Do I need to sell 100 sandwiches and then I'll get $5,000? Excellent. Let's sell a fucking 100 tomorrow. Then I can take somebody on. You build that step by step. That can be a whole nother thing about actually how to build that. But you got to start from the basics, which then lead to the second step, the mid-level, then the next level, okay? Then you can build your company, bring on people, bring on franchisees, bring on partners, expand your footprint, get into new markets, try new products with different extensions in the same thing you're doing. But everything has to be controlled first. Everything has to be detailed first. Then you have to execute on that every single day relentlessly, because there's something happening every single day that wants to take away from it. Everybody wants your money. The next vendor wants your money. Prices have gone up. Economy gets crazy. COVID comes in. Tomatoes are $60 a box. All these things matter in sustaining your business and growing it. Okay. This is just a down and dirty quick look at it, because every one of these are broken out into extremely detailed lists of what we will do. The people in place to do those things are in place to do those things. I've put all that cost up front. So my budget was, what do I need to do? What can I cash flow? How fast can it go? How long will it take me? And what is the first most important step that I can't not do? Boom, I'm going to do that. So it's control, strategy, planning, and execution and action. Action over time gets you to any position you want to be in. It can't be understated. What you get out of anything is what you're willing to do. Okay. How far you're willing to go, how hard you're willing to go is what you will get out of it. You can walk yourself into the best investment ever, but if you suck and you can't do it, you're not going to get it out no matter what. Then you're going to say, oh, that wasn't good. No, it is. Maybe you weren't. That's what's critical for us about picking those right partners, picking the right owner operators, picking the right people on Pepos Corporate to support the training, the ongoing support, the build outs, watching them, learning, and then reapplying that after the first next one, reapplying what was good and what was bad again. Boom, on repeat. Literally fucking start to finish. What went good? What went wrong? What do we fix? What's better? What's worse? Do this next. Repeat. Stick with the basics. Learn. Fucking repeat. This right here, I'll break it down however you want to. This was a quick down and dirty. I hit about 1 hour, which is I wanted to keep it at that. I hope that helped. I brought a little bit of context in, talked about some real numbers here. Okay. I wanted to give you guys a little bit more detail there. I hope I did that for you. I appreciate you guys. Please like, comment, share, support, however you want to do it. Come to the restaurant, say hello, try a sandwich, click like, you know, whatever you do, all that is very much appreciated as a small business, because that all adds to it. Okay. Strong people, strong foundation. Robert Pepo, number 44. Let's fucking get it.